change in your perspective, otherwise known as a sacrificial mindset. I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 12. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to just go ahead and start reading. And when the people saw that Moses came down, or that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. But Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off their golden earrings, and they were in their ears, and they brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it into a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning, or in the morrow, and offered a burnt offering, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and they have worshipped it, and they have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from the fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. I chose to use the scripture that I did, thank you so much, for a lot of different reasons, and you will understand that in the end once I get there. But for now, I'm going to start off by talking about me. Nobody likes doing that, right? I'm going to do it. The last couple of months of my life have been some tests and trials, some hills and valleys. A lot of lows, a lot of highs, some good, some bad. The story that I can pick out to be the most relevant happens to be work, where most of my time is spent. And in this, we're just gonna go ahead and get into it. Sorry, I'm nervous because I don't really want to talk about my work. But God's gonna go before me, we good. So at my job, I've been there for a year, like 4 months now. Yeah, I've been doing maintenance for apartments, and I got all of the certifications that I needed. In the beginning, everything was great. I hit the ground running. I started there. I was excited to tell everyone and everything about the things of God. Anything that I walked, I was talking about Jesus. But that quickly kind of changed because my work scenario changed. It went from everything being good and me having 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours of my day talking about God to quickly being consumed by work. And at least that's the way that it appeared to me. So in being consumed by work, I therefore allowed the job to become my main priority and my main focus and where I was devoting all of my attention to. I was no longer thinking or focusing on the things of God and focusing on what it was that God had called me to do and my greater purpose on the harvest that was there and that's attached to the place that I was. Instead, I was stuck, I was stagnant, and I was complaining and murmuring of the things and places that God had taken me, knowing that just a year and 4 months ago, I was praying for this exact job. I prayed for exactly what it was that I wanted from God. I knew going into it that this is the place that I needed to be. I knew that this was a great opportunity for not just my career, but for me to grow as a man. I knew that there was definitely things that I was able and going to be able to learn from this company, and there was values and assets that I didn't have that I would soon gain. However, we quickly changed paths again. We were no longer full staffed in this time, In this time, we have now lost a service tech. So now it's me and a service manager. I am what they call a junior technician. A junior technician is not really one to do work orders. They're strictly supposed to do turns or make ready's, which is to make the apartments ready to move into. And this time, God seen the work that I was doing for him, and he blessed me, and I was able to receive a raise and a promotion, which is a really good thing. I'm very thankful for it. I was ecstatic after I got my raise. I was hyped. Man, I was ready to take everybody out to dinner because I thought I was that guy. I was ready. Well, little did I know, that would be not the last change to happen. A short little 5 months later, we then lose our supervisor. Yeah, I know, it sucks, right? Just me. Little old me at this one property. Mind you, it's 288 units, 288 apartments, and I feel responsible for all 288. And all 288 people look at me for their needs because they don't understand what it is that's going on behind the closed doors. They don't know that we don't have a full staff to occupy their needs and to assist and help them in any way, shape, or form. So I continue. I was okay with it. I was like, Lord, this is great. You got me right where you want me. I'm all alone. I don't got nobody. I ain't got nobody to witness to. I must have did all the witnessing that I could up to those people because you took them. So what now? And it was in that moment when I asked the what now. Oh man, careful what you ask for. Because then, 2 short months later after my supervisor was fired, not even, it was a month, right? It was like a month. Yeah, like a month before my supervisor was fired, actually, I called my mom. And as my dad would say, I was crying crocodile tears. It's not funny, but it is funny. I was crying for real. I mean, every tear that was falling off my face, I was feeling all of that. I was hurt. I was broke. Because I didn't think that me losing a supervisor or a service tech was going to affect me so much. I didn't think that my day-to-day routine was going to be affected so much. I didn't think that my job was going to be affected that much. I didn't think they was going to ask me to do more. Crazy, right? Crazy. I didn't think that God was going to expect more from me, knowing that there wasn't enough to fill in with me. Knowing that I don't work for Shay, that I work for him. But in my mind, I'm looking at it as, oh, I work for Shay, and he's going to ask me to do a whole lot I don't want to do. So I call my mom. Crying those crocodile tears, my dad in the background. Oh, this is so bad. It's just like last year's the same job. Before I could even finish my crying and murmuring, God was speaking. And you know it was through Sister J. So I froze. Because the moment you hear Jesus talking, ain't much to say. So I shut up. And I listened to the things that God was telling me. And in that, God told me he didn't move me from Egypt and take me out of my Egypt to put me back into another one. He told me that the place that I was at, or that I am at, was where he needed me to be, because he needed me to be there so I could grow and to elevate in all ways of my life, not just physical and the work. And I received it, you know, I was like, yeah, that's some good stuff to hear, but how? You know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds good. So I was like, all right, what? You know, we gonna trust this, we're gonna keep it going forward. I was hyped after that call, you know? I was like, yeah, we got an answer, we know what to do. So now I'm praying like, oh, that supervisor position is open, Lord. I know it's mine. I see it. I got my name on it. I was hyped. Let me tell you, I was claiming it. You could have asked me, I would have told you I was the supervisor of Zenith Meridian Apartments. And I knew, with everything in me, I had the job. I knew that I didn't have all the qualifications, but I knew my God was going to make it happen. Well, let me tell you, my hopes got shot down in 2 seconds. I say that, it sounds funny, but I'm being dead serious. I go in for my interview, and I'm hyped. I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was preparing. I'm like, Mom, what do you think they're going to ask me? You know, is there anything I need to prepare for? This is next step. I ain't never been a manager before, so, you know, what kind of things do I need to be preparing for? What should I know going into this? Well, it turns out all the information I needed to know was right there. I look at the regional who's interviewing me along with my community manager. She looks at me and she says, JZL, I think you are a great guy. I think you are a great worker. but you're not qualified for the position. Run that back one more time. We didn't even get to hello, how your day going, none of that. It was, but you're not qualified for the position. I took that personal. I'm gonna be honest. I was offended like no other. I was mad. I could have slapped her. I really could have. And I was looking at her like that, and I was trying, you know, I'm trying to be right, because I know the truth, I know what's right. I know that I ain't supposed to be reacting the way that I am, but everything in me is reacting that way. And I can't even control it. So what did I do? I shut up. Because I remember that saying as a kid, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. So I shut up. Because I was like, I ain't got nothing nice to say. And I didn't have no more. So I don't want to talk, nothing. So at the end of it, you know, God talking to me while she's sitting there talking to me, because I done clocked out on her. I'm like, man, get this place. I'm going to quit tomorrow. I'm going to go find me another gig. I'm going to be a supervisor. God, you told me to expect it. I'm going to be a supervisor. I don't know what she talking about. So, you know, I keep going on. All prideful, chest stuck out, as the pastor would say. Put the little limp in there and everything. I was mad. I was evil. But in that moment, I stopped and I was praying. And as I'm praying, before I could even leave the room, her next question to me was, is there anything else that I could do for you or that you need from me? I mean, you've been saying it out loud now. I'm still like, what do you need to say to that? You're not qualified, but what do you need from me? I don't know, the qualifications. So, I mean, I was baffled, for real. I still could not get my mind right. I'm lost. So I don't even know what to tell this lady right now, God. I don't know. So I just stopped, and I was like, all right. So that fellow wants to just ask her, what is it that I need, or that you feel I'm missing, to take that next step in my career? She couldn't answer the question. Made me even more mad. I'm like, wait, I ain't qualified enough for one. For two, you go sit here and tell me, if you need anything from me, ask me. I'm asking you what it is I need from you, and you ain't got an answer still? You're dead silent. I'm hearing crickets. But you had a lot to say when we came in here. So I'm feeling the type of way, right? So I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause on that story. Y'all remember how funny that part was, right? You go get back to that. I'm going to jump into my lesson, because that was just about me. But you'll see why I was telling you about me as I dive into my lesson. Because as I was praying, and I was reading the Bible, and as I'm feeling all these things personally about her asking me what else I need, and then she ain't got no answers, while I'm sitting here taking it to heart, God's sitting there speaking to me. And he had a greater lesson for me to learn than what she was saying. Because he didn't need me to hear that I wasn't qualified, because that wasn't what he was asking or telling me. Because the thing is, I'm qualified in him. I walk in the Spirit and the authority of God. So therefore, my path has already been set before me. So the thing is, I had a perspective that was not good in that situation, because I could only see it from my side, from my hurt. Because she said to me, how dare you say I'm not qualified, and I gave you a year of my life. Thing is, my bad, it ain't even years, it's 4 months. Don't forget the 4 months, because then 4 months was something. See, but the thing that I didn't tell y'all about or talk about in that all was the fact that I've been there for a year and 4 months. I've had 3 raises. I've had 2 position changes. I've been there for a year and 4 months. But the jobs that I was at prior to 2 years, I didn't have an increase for over a year. I didn't have a position change for over a year. But my mindset was like, dang, here I am in Egypt, not qualified to make it up out of here. That's my mindset. God wants us to go deeper and dive further into it. The problem is, we become too comfortable when we go home and when we come to church. When we come to church or we do the things of God, it becomes regimented or repeated. And it's done just because it's a part of our normal schedule. Therefore, our desire is not there because it's not in the right place. You just come in, give half of yourself, give half of your time while you're here, and then you go. See, but here's the thing. If you went to your job and you only work 2 to 4 hours, or 2 to 4 hours out of the 8 every single day, then that would be considered part-time. Therefore, you're not going to collect the full paycheck. But going into that, you're not going to have the mindset that you're about to collect the full paycheck if you're putting in part-time work. Can't do the same thing with God. Can't put in part-time work and expect full-time results. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can't play in the starting 5 if you're sitting on the bench. It doesn't work. You're on 2 different places of the court. It don't work. It's the same thing with our walks with God. The thing is, God said his yoke is light. The thing is, we decide to take control and that we have better answers because we let our flesh live and we control too much and we act like we don't hold the greatest gift ever inside of us. We have a million and one reasons why it is that we can't be at church. We're suddenly busy on Wednesdays at 7:30 conveniently. Then when we're sleeping in, getting good time in with our families before church on Sundays, knowing that it starts at 2:30, we conveniently have something to pop up. But we'll go straight to work in a heartbeat, but we'll hesitate to come to church. Thing is, you want God when your life is bad, hard, rough, difficult. But when life is all good, God's no longer convenient for you. You toss him to the curb and you go on about doing what it is that you were doing in your life. God is never and will never be a second in your life. And I promise you that. He will never and will never, will never, will never be second in your life. Ever. To no one. None. Your faith is not your feelings or your circumstances. But because he is with you and your faith is in him, your future and your hope is limitless. You can walk through a troubled world. You can't walk through a troubled world with a troubled heart. See, the thing about God is we're able to grow and elevate within our walks with him. So as we're doing so, or as we are doing what we should be, we will continue to grow and develop. But the problem is, we're looking too good, or we're looking for God to deal with us on the same level or the same capacity he once did when we first started walking with him. The thing is, there's a blessing over you before you ever knew it. And with there being a blessing over your life, the thing is, that's always going to make you a target. Because you were born with a blessing. You were born with something that the enemy wants to take from you more than he can desire anything else. Because he was kicked out of the kingdom of heaven, he wants that blessing that's on our lives. And that is the reason that he comes after us so hard. But when we don't realize that, we can't see the blessing or the fruit from the blessings in our lives. The thing is, we take the blessing and we believe it for a time or a season when it's right in front of us. And then The thing is, just as quick as we have a blessing on our lives and we've been called to be set apart or to be different from the enemy, the moment that we're called to be set apart or to be different from the enemy can recognize that. And he realizes that. He sees that. He knows that. So he's going to come after you harder. He's not going to stop. He's not going to give up. Oh, you're having a hard day, JoJo. My bad. Let me just take it easy on you today, big dog. My bad. Let me let you go live your life for God. It's not going to be like that. The great thing about God is the enemy is aware and knowledgeable of the blessing, but he has no power to take the blessing away. Let me say that one more time. Because the enemy has no power to take the blessing that God has given you away. The thing that the devil can do is blind you from that blessing. The devil has no power to take it, but he can blind you from it. So how can I off-kilter a church? I take that promise or that blessing that they were originally given, and I lead them astray to believe or to think something else. I lead them to think with their emotions of the situation and the things that they're going through in that particular situation. I lead them to lead to the way that their flesh feels. I lead them to lead to how it is that they feel in that moment, to how it is that person made them feel in that moment, to how it is that individual made them feel, or how that person made them look in that moment. Because the moment I can shift your focus away from what it was that you started with, which was that blessing, you're no longer in God's face asking what's next. And that is the problem. The problem is, and where we go wrong, is we hold on to the blessing and the things of God just close enough so that we know it's there. But then, we take that blessing and we put it up on the shelf right here. It's right on the edge. Because I can still reach it at any moment that I want it. But I don't have to actively seek it. I don't have to go back to you. Hey God, what's next? Where do I go from here? I don't have to go do all this because I can just put it up there and be done. Because God gave it to me. Right? See, we put the things of God and God on the back burner. We then operate out of our flesh, trying to will and deal the blessing and the promise over our lives. And we hope that God's going to line up with everything that we have a desire for in our own flesh, in our own hearts. We think because we want to put God on the shelf that God's going to put us on the shelf and he's going to deal with us the same way that he's dealing with us, or that we're dealing with him. God doesn't work like that. God's not going to meet you where you're at in that moment like that. God's not going to say, oh, you pushed me away. Cool. It's okay. Just push me away. It's not what God's asking, but that's what we keep doing. We're sitting in the body and we ask why we're looking at some of the similar things in which we looked at previous years before. I look back on lessons that were taught a year ago about fortifying on the things of the dress rehearsal, the thing in which we should be practicing for when the real deal is here. During that same time a year ago, God put Sister J on pause. He told her, I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to teach. I don't need you to do any of that. I don't need you to pray. I need you to sit still. And we all seen that from a fleshly perspective. Even me. I was like, oh, that's hard. That is tough. Because she got so much dog in her that God told her, you're running alone. Hold on. She wants it so bad that she will lay everything on the line up here for God and look back not once. She said it before. She'll run and not have to look back if she could, because she wants the things of God that much. But this is not an elevation of Sister J, because the same spirit she holds, we have the same access. Amen. There's nothing greater about Sister J than us. We have the same spirit that lives within inside of us. Amen. The problem is, none of us exercise it or use it the same way Sister J does. None of us have that love for God the way that Sister J does. Because if we did, then we would all be on pause. We would all be in the same position as Sister J. God wouldn't be slowing one person down for the rest of the body to catch up. But see, I'm going to take it even further, because it's not just Sister J. Because Sister J was paused, right? And God said that there was going to have to be people to what? Step up. Well, let me ask y'all something. Who's been teaching every Wednesday? I'll tell you. Pastor Marquise and Brother Murray. Who preaches on Sundays? Pastor Marquise and Brother Murray. As if we have no other people in this body. As if we have no other able souls to teach. As if God hasn't deposited the same spirit in those three individuals as he has in all of us. As if he hasn't given us the same hunger, the same desire, the same way to seek him. The same teaching, the same principles, the same instructions as those three individuals. But they're the ones who are taking it. And we look at our leaders and we are blessed to have them in our lives. And we very, very much so do not appreciate them enough. And I don't care if it's my parents, and you feel the type of way that I'm saying it. I don't. I really don't. Because it has nothing to do with them being my parents that I feel that way. It's because of the example of leadership that they have laid before Peer Apostolic. They have given us their most important theme for God. To us as a body. And you want to know what that is? Their hearts and love for God. Why do you think we can be called the Love Church? It didn't start without love leading. It doesn't. Everything is in order, in decency, and order. It starts from the head and it trickles down through the body. When the blessings are flowing through the body, it doesn't start from the bottom and flow to the top. It starts from the top and it's flowing through the bottom. Pastor Marquise calls me every day telling me about something new he got. And you know what I do? I rejoice with him, because just as much as I'm rejoicing with him, I'm gaining and I'm benefiting from that, yes, from just lining up with his leadership. Amen, amen. From lining up with Sister Jay's leadership. Yes. They poured their heart into their leadership because their hearts are focused on God. And that's it. They love every single one of us, but their hearts are solely focused on God. Because end of the day, that's the only thing that they care about. What you think about Sister Jay's attitude, she doesn't care. What you think about Pastor Marquis' outfit, he doesn't care. What he cares about is you making it to heaven. What he cares about is how he can get you out of the mess that you're in. What she cares about is what you're going to do next from there and how you're going to go set other people on fire for God. Because that's where their hearts lie. Brother Murray does the same thing. But yet every single Wednesday, for how long? I couldn't even tell you. Pastor Marquise and Brother Murray have been the ones up here teaching. And God told us as a body to step up. He didn't say, Brother Murray, Pastor Marquise, and Sister Jay, step up. He didn't say that. In fact, he's asking them to step down. Because we, as a body, have to step up. We, as a body, have to do more. Our perspectives are wrong. We are focused on the wrong things. We're focused on the way that she made us feel at work when she told me I wasn't qualified. We're focused on how I'm asking what else it is that you need from me, and I have no answer. We're focused on the fact that God promised me a supervisor position, and I'm not a supervisor. We choose to stay stuck on these things. But the problem is, all of these things that I'm naming that we're stuck on are all things of our flesh. They're all problems that really are this big, because the situation that's at hand is something completely different. It's God. God said in his word, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities. So therefore, by me sitting there being upset that I'm not a supervisor, I'm upset that I didn't. That she asked me what else it was that I needed from her, and she had no answer. I'm upset because I went and applied for the position, and before I could even get interviewed to see if I had qualifications, I was turned out the door. I was offended, and I was upset. And I walked away from that conversation, offended and upset. But I have the Spirit of God. She doesn't. I'm the one who walked away offended. And she doesn't have the Spirit of God. My response could have been so much more different. My perspective throughout this whole entire work situation should have been different. Because it's not that God hasn't given me increase. Because as I said before, I've gotten increase 3 separate times in a year and a quarter. It's not that God didn't elevate my title, because God already has done that. And he already promised me that I would be a supervisor. And if he says it, his word's not going to come back to him void. So therefore, I know it's going to happen. But he told me to go with the expectation of being a supervisor. But because I listened to what she told me, I took my thoughts and practiced and rehearsed in my head, I'm not qualified. So then what happens? After thinking it so much, you start to speak it. Whoa, no way. Didn't I teach a lesson on the power in the tongue? What? So you're telling me that I've been telling my own self I'm not qualified? What? No way. Because God promised me that. But that's exactly what I did. My perspective was on the flesh, the things of this world. I wasn't looking to God any further. The thing is, I was looking for my increase to come from Shay or from my regional who didn't think I was qualified. But God already set me apart and set me aside and said I'm qualified and that I am a supervisor. All I have to do is line up with what he's asking me to do. Share his word, read his word, pray, and teach Bible study. Simple, right? If you line up with the rest of that, all the rest of the blessing and promise that is attached to that will flow and comes with it. But it's when we shift in our minds about how we feel, how that made me feel, how that made me look, how that made me. And in the end times, what does it talk about? In the end of days, men will be lovers of themselves. What did I say about those blinders? The blessing was already on our lives. The devil's going to try and put what on us? The thing is, I know that Brother Murray, Pastor Marquise, and Sister Jerry are not the only ones with the dogs in them. I know we all got a dog in us. They're just the ones who choose to operate out of that dog. They wake up every day and say, you know what, Lord? I got you today. I got you today. I got you. What you need me to do? They're not like, oh, hey, babe, what do you need me to do today? Oh, did you hear what you said to me yesterday? Did you see the way she looked at me yesterday? You ain't talking about that. When they wake up, being the guys, when they want, my mom wake up and she drink hot water, and the first thing before she says a word to anybody, she talk to God. And if she don't, she's going to be a whole different person. Because that's how much it means to her. Pastor Marquise be talking to God in the most random of times. Cut his hair, sitting there, get a whole message. I want that. Don't y'all? I want to be driving down the road, hear a song, and then all of a sudden I got a sermon? You know how hard that'll be? You sit there and you're just talking to somebody and then all of a sudden they want to be your best friend? You kidding me? You go in to fix somebody's stuff, thinking that they got a broken dishwasher, and you come up out of there a millionaire for being obedient to the things of God. Amen. Because I didn't go there to really fix a dishwasher. I went there really to go talk to this lady about God. And she was going through something that I noticed while I was there. I couldn't pay attention to that, though, if I went in there just to fix a dishwasher. I forgot about those ones. I'm going to just read a couple more scriptures.
Oh, no.
It ain't my physical copy, you know what I'm saying? It's, the page is turning a little funny. It's got this new one. Okay, so, it is purple. It ain't my color either. No, I'm just kidding. The scriptures I'm going to read, I'm going to start off with Psalm 75, verse 7. It says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another.
No. No.
The next one I'm going to read is Luke. Good there. Chapter 1. The page didn't really stick. Chapter 1, verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And the final scripture I'm going to read is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7, which reads as follows. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. As I close today, I will leave you with this. We have to shift our focus solely to the things of God and the ways of God. And we have to stop being blinded of our blessings. We all got that dog in us, but it's all a matter of who will use it for the things of God. And in that, I conclude. So if you wouldn't mind standing, I would press out. And I'm going to ask that Sister Annette come up and play.
What?
Like, what you mean, everybody but me? Come on, man. I want praise too. Play this one too. Take us out on a high note. If you would just bow your heads with me, go ahead and pray us out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the tests and trials of my life, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for you using my testimony as an example, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the example that you showed me. I thank you for the teaching in which you gave me through this, dear Lord Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for just being able to be here today, dear Lord, to be present in your presence, to be able to give to your body, dear Lord Jesus, as you've so freely given to me. I thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the love that you have shown me, the love you show this body, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we continue to go forward, that our perspectives and our focus will not be on the things of the flesh and of the world, but that we would shift our focus to you and the things of God, and that we would solely focus on you and the things of God, and allow you to line everything else up in our lives, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that we don't will and deal it our own way and try to create a path for ourselves no more, dear Lord. I pray that we don't move back to our Egypts after you moved us from them. I pray, dear Lord, that we don't take our golden earrings and create a molten calf or an idol and worship because you're second to none. I pray, Father, that we would just lay it all at your feet and that we would continue to seek your face and that we will be obedient and pick up the call when you call.
Amen.
And it's in Jesus' precious name I thank you. I love you.